Rehearsal for Shakespeare's Henry IV began promptly at 10 a.m. I hadn't slept at all, and the back of my throat still burned from puking. My first night at the Mercury had not ended well. I worried people could smell the alcohol seeping through my pores as I stepped off the elevator and into the rehearsal hall. I like old theaters or sweaty church basements, places where you can smell some history on the walls. This place was antiseptic. Spread over half the 27th floor of a corporate office building, our rehearsal area was roughly the size of a baseball diamond. The lengths of the far two walls were floor-to-ceiling windows. The lights, cops, and chaos of Times Square screamed mutely through the glass. It was distracting as hell. Earlier that morning, I had taken my daughter to school. We paused in front of her Upper East Side kindergarten. She asked me, "Are you living in a hotel because it's closer to rehearsal?" I stood there, hungover and silent. "That's the only reason I can think of," she added. "Well, that's one of the reasons. Are you going to keep living there?" I stared at her in silence. "'Cause I was thinking," she continued, "if you and Mommy aren't going to live together anymore, that would be great. I can get a puppy and Mommy wouldn't be allergic." "This afternoon, when school and rehearsal are finished, we'll go to the pound and rescue a puppy. Deal?" I get to name her. I nodded and we shook hands. Promising a child a puppy. Pathetic. Inside the rehearsal hall, tables were set into a large square with folding chairs arranged all around the outside edges. The first day of rehearsal for a play is always the same. Bagels, coffee, orange juice, pencils, actors' equity forms, nervous chatter, people who haven't seen each other since that boring production of The Iceman Cometh back in 04, the election of a union deputy, the stage manager's speeches about promptness and work-related injuries. This morning was a little different, only because there were so many people. 39 in the cast and about 25 designers and assistants and producer types. The star was already there when I arrived. That's how you know you're late, when a movie star like Virgil Smith is there before you. To his credit, he had about 4 scripts with him, all different versions of the play, and the play was damn long, so he was surrounded by piles of papers. A massive white beard, which he must have been growing for a year, covered his face. He looked like Orson Welles, or, I guess, in truth, he looked like Falstaff, which was the idea. Virgil stood up when he saw me and walked over to the table where I was standing. He gave me a big bear hug. I know he meant it to be nice, but it felt embarrassing, like pity. I was so hungover and dizzy. I could have cried in his arms or punched him in the face. He was probably the only legitimate American film star who was also a universally celebrated and respected theater actor. He was everything I ever wanted to be since I was old enough to want. In England, it's common, I guess, but in America, Virgil Smith is one of a kind. He's a Rhodes Scholar, a Yale Drama School graduate, who won his first Oscar playing a gangster in what is arguably considered the finest American film since Citizen Kane. He'd won the Tony 3 times, once for his Macbeth, and 2 other times for his performances in original plays. We'd never met before, but since I was kind of famous and he was super famous, I guess he figured we should hug. "Is it true?" he asked with his big, wet, Academy Award-winning eyes. "Is what true?" I asked. "What I read in the papers." "Depends on what you read." "Well," he paused and smiled. I'd seen him give the same look in 100 movies. "I read you cheated on your wife and that she's demanding a divorce." "Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the story," I said and left him there. This was not the conversation of my dreams. Next, I went and sat down at my assigned seat, took out my script, and tried to be nervous about the read-through that was to begin soon. There were so many things in my life about which it made sense to be nervous, and this was the gentlest one. The previous night had been worse than I expected. I left the hotel, went home to see the kids, and talk to my wife. She didn't come downstairs to say hello, but I could hear her clomping around above us. She told the nanny to inform me I could take the kids out to dinner and put them to bed. She would meet me at the bar across the street at 10 p.m. The kids and I went to the park. We had a pretty great time seeing each other. I sat in the sandbox over at Union Square Park with the two of them pushing sand around and watching the sunset.